All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. We're going to be in the first 15 verses here. And we'll just start at verse 1 and go a little bit and comment as we go. Jeremiah 32, verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. These are two opposing kings here. King of Judah, he was supposed to be God's king, and then you had Nebuchadnezzar. And it says, for then the king of Babylon, that's Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon's army besieged Jerusalem. The king of Babylon's army had Jerusalem completely surrounded. They had them shut up. They had them confined. Every person in that city, every person inside that city and in that land was surrounded on all sides by the king of Babylon. They were starved, they were plagued with pestilence, and they were about to feel the sword. And verse 2 says, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison, which was in the king of Judah's house. Jeremiah is a prophet of the Lord. He's not in a Babylonian prison. He's in prison in the court of the prison in the king of Judah's house. Reckon how he got there. Think it might have had anything to do with the rejection of the word of the Lord? Let's see. Verse 3. For, here's why, Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, wherefore dost thou prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord? Now here was what he was offended about. This is what the Lord said to him. Behold, I will give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, shall not escape out of the land of the Chaldeans. But he shall surely be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, and shall speak with him mouth to mouth, and his eyes shall behold his eyes. And he shall lead Zedekiah to Babylon, and there he shall be until I visit him, saith the Lord. Though you fight with the Chaldeans, you shall not prosper. To King Zedekiah, he sees this preacher walk in there to wherever he was at in his palace. And he goes in there and he starts telling him this word of the Lord, saying, thus saith the word of the Lord. All Zedekiah heard was a man who was preaching against his country, a man who was preaching against his countrymen, a man who was preaching against his king. That's what most men hear when they hear the gospel preached. That's what they hear. And they respond just about like Zedekiah responded. He shut up Zedekiah, saying, how dare you preach something like that to me, telling me that's the word of the Lord? How dare you? They won't shut me up in prison today. Not yet. Probably not too far off, but not yet. But they'll just leave and come in now and then and do whatever they can to shut their ears not to hear. Let's read on now. Then God commanded Jeremiah to do a very, very odd thing. Look at verse 6. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anatoth for the right of redemption. That's the title. The right of redemption is thine to buy it. So Hanamel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anatoth, which is in the country of Benjamin. for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. And then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. Now you get this. Get this picture now. The land is surrounded, completely surrounded by the enemy. The king of Babylon's army has this whole city and this whole land and everybody in it besieged. And God said, in no uncertain terms, God said, I will deliver it into the hands of Babylon. And then he turns around and he says, now, Jeremiah, you go into this besieged country and you buy you a piece of land. You go into that country and you buy a piece of land. That sound foolish? That sound foolish? That sound like a foolish thing to do? To part with valuable silver, probably everything he had to his name. To part with this world. To part with everything this world calls valuable and precious. To buy something that's worthless. To buy something that the enemy has conquered. To buy something, invest in something that you'll never set foot on. You'll never see it in your lifetime. That is utter foolishness. Well, that's exactly what God calls on you to do every time you hear the gospel. He calls, in this general call that's going forth, God calls and says, look to that cross and believe on that one right there who in your mind's eye was condemned and conquered by the enemy and died. Believe on him. Invest your all in him. Part with this world. Invest everything in him. Sight unseen. Just like Jeremiah. He couldn't get out of that prison and go look at that land. You can't look at Christ either. He said, buy it. Sight unseen. Sight unseen. God says, he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. He says, buy the truth. And sell it not. Now, is that foolishness to you? Is that foolishness to you? The natural man hears the word of God like Zedekiah heard it. He hears it and he says, how dare you declare that I'm ruined in sin? How dare you declare that I've been taken captive by the king of Babylon? How dare you preach such a thing to me? How dare you say that I won't prosper by my fighting? And so he shuts him up and says, I'm not hearing that anymore. He hears Christ was born of a virgin. And he's holy, separate from sinners, unlike any other man that ever walked this earth. The God-man. He hears that. He says, that just sounds foolish to me. That sounds absurd to me. Just utter absurd. He hears all this message about him being the God-man, but all he sees is a poor carpenter's son. Just a mere man. Or just a mere man who was despised and rejected of men. And he says, you expect me to believe on him? That's foolishness. He looks to Calvary. Looks there at Calvary, and all he sees is a land given over to the king of Babylon's army, besieged and conquered, nailed to a bloody cross. And he looks there at all that and he says, you want me to believe on him? That's nonsense. He looks there and he sees that lifeless body laid in a tomb. He says, I have never ever seen another man rise from the dead. You expect me to believe he was raised again for our justification? That's foolishness. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, the preaching of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness. It's foolishness. They look at it, everything we're preaching, and they think that makes about as much sense as a man going over into a war-torn country that he can't even step foot in and buying a piece of land. What good is that? What good is that? But that same scripture says unto us, which are being saved, it is the power of God. This same word is foolishness to one man, is the power of God to another. You see, Zedekiah rejected it. Zedekiah said, I'm not going to have you say that I'm captive. I'm not listening to that. Jeremiah hears the word, telling him, you go buy a piece of land in this buy a piece of property in this condemned land. And he obeyed. He saw something Zedekiah didn't see. He heard something Zedekiah didn't hear. What did he hear? Look down at verse 15. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. They shall. Now, what's all this mean? What's God doing here telling Jeremiah to go buy that piece of property? Well, God did this a lot of times with His prophets. And He did it with Jeremiah. God would give them something like this to do to draw a picture, to paint a picture, to show us what He was doing. And when you go on and read past verse 15, the rest of the chapter and the next chapter declares to you exactly what He's showing in the picture. I'm just going to try to hit the highlights of it today and show you what He's declaring here in the picture. It's to show the redemption that Christ accomplished by His offering at Calvary, whereby all His people are saved from our sin. That's what it's the picture. Now, first thing we see here, we see that Christ is wisdom to us who believe. And here's why. Because it was in Christ that God eternally purposed to save all His elect. It was in Christ that He eternally purposed to do it. Look here now at verse 6. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, thine uncle, shall come unto thee. He shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anatoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. Notice, God told Jeremiah what was going to happen before it ever happened. He told him what God had purposed before it ever came to pass. You see, He said, behold, Hanamel shall come unto thee. He's telling him the end from the beginning. And that's in Christ. God declared the end from the beginning and from ancient times, from before the foundation of the world, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. That's what God did. Don't you like that? I like a God who can tell you ahead of time, this is how I'm going to do it, right here, and then do it, just like He said He's going to do it. That's a sovereign God. That's a powerful God right there. He don't have to be carried around by a man. That's a powerful God. All right, before it came to pass, before it ever even came to pass, God chose Jeremiah to be the Redeemer. He chose Jeremiah to be the Redeemer. Well, in eternity, that's what He's showing. In eternity, God chose Christ, His Son, to be the Redeemer. And then before it came to pass, God chose the object to be redeemed. He said, a field in Anatoth. This is before it ever even came to pass. That's exactly what God did before the foundation of the world. He chose the objects of His redemption. He chose His people. You see, this redemption was for Jeremiah's kinfolks. It was for Jeremiah's kinfolks. You see, that land in Anatoth, that's the land of Benjamin. That's one of those cities that God chose to give to His chosen priests and said, this is your inheritance. This is yours. And so that's what God did for His people. He chose His people in Christ. He makes us priests in Christ. And He says, now, the land that I'm going to give you, that's your inheritance. And you're my inheritance. That's what He tells His people. And the redemption, so then, here they're coming to Him and they're saying, look, the enemy's coming in and he's fixing to take the priests off the land. This was for Jeremiah's kinfolks. It was for his kinfolks because The whole point of him giving this land was so that it would stay in the hands of the rightful one whose inheritance it was. It would never pass from anybody else's hands. But when this enemy came in, it's fixing to pass from their hands into somebody else's hands. So he comes to Jeremiah and he says, you redeem this property. The right of redemption is in your hand. Well, God chose his people from eternity. Chose us in Christ. And he said to Christ, the right of redemption is yours. They're your near kinsmen. You've got the right of redemption. You know what Hanamel means? All these words, when you come across a name, take out a Strong's Concordance and look it up and say, what does this name mean? Hanamel means God is gracious. That's what it means. God is gracious. God graciously gives. That's what his name means. In eternity, God blessed his people with all spiritual blessings in Christ to the praise of the glory of his grace. He did it all to the praise of the glory of his grace. Now look at this. That word Shalom, that name Shalom, it means retribution. Retribution. Punishment for sin. Now look, Hanamel, grace, and the son of Shalom, take these two names here. It says, they shall come unto thee. Here you've got grace and you've got justice. And who are they coming together in? They're coming together in the Redeemer. That's who they're coming together in. From eternity, God purposed grace and truth are going to come together. They're going to meet together in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll be gracious to his people. And at the same time, he's going to be just, satisfy his law, and justify them. Determined it from eternity. Then God our Father foreordained for Christ to be the Redeemer, and he gave him the right of redemption then. He said here to Jeremiah, thine is the right of redemption. God declared it. That's why Christ and him crucified is wisdom and power, the wisdom and power of God to believers. Because we see our God who ordered salvation, made it sure from the very beginning. He didn't have a thing in the world to do with us except for us just getting saved. That's all. By him. So that means he's not going to drop us. He's not going to change it. He's not, because he said, I've determined it. Who's going to disannul it? All right? Here's the second thing. Now, is that foolishness to anybody here? Is that foolishness? Do you want a God? You want a God that can't do anything but what a man lets him do? What kind of God you want? If that's foolishness to you, for a God that can determine the end from the beginning, then what kind of God do you want? All right, secondly, Christ crucified is a power and wisdom of God to us who believe because Christ lawfully redeemed us. He came here and lawfully redeemed his people. All right, look at verse 8. So Hanamel, grace came to me. Grace came to me in the court of the prison. In the court of the prison. Where when Jeremiah was brought into the lower part of the earth. Prison's not exactly the place that you want to call home and say, hey, mama, guess where I'm at? That's sort of the lower part of the earth, isn't it? Grace came to him while he was in the lower part of the earth. Where'd Christ come to? The lower part of the earth. And what grace say to him? Came to him according to the word of the Lord, just like God purposed from eternity. And he said unto me, buy my field. That's what grace said to him, buy my field. I pray thee, that is in Anatoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine. The right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. The right of redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. And then I knew this was the word of the Lord. I read things on that, every man saying different things, and just couldn't figure out how could Jeremiah have the word of the Lord tell him this and then get to this point and say, then I knew this was the word of the Lord. Well, it's a picture. It's a picture. Just like when he said, go down to the potter's house and watch him do a work on the wheels. That was a picture. When he said, when he said, take a vessel and put it in a glass bottle and then go break the bottle. That was a picture. He was showing what he was going to do. I'm going to shatter them. Well, that's what he's showing here. When Christ came into this world, he came into this world as the servant of God. He came into this world trusting God, looking to God, waiting on grace to come to him and tell him what it was to do and tell him where to go, just like a believer does, because he was serving God. He had all power over heaven and earth. He's God, but he came here as the servant of God. And when God said, spoke to him, then he knew. Then he knew. Look here now. And I bought the field of Hanamel. I bought the field of grace that was in Anatoth, and I weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. Christ is our near kinsman. He's our near kinsman. The right of inheritance, the right of redemption, belongs to him. This is what God said in the law. It's in Leviticus 25:25. Leviticus 25:25. God said this, If thy brother be waxen poor and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, the possession he sold away, and his near kin come and say, I want to redeem that, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. All God's elect, all Christ's brethren, all his family. Jeremiah's going to Anatoth, or not going there, but he's going to redeem it because that's his brethren. That's his kinfolk. Jeremiah's from the tribe of Benjamin. That's his family. That's his tribe. And he's going to redeem it. Well, Christ came and he's going to redeem his brethren. He's going to redeem his family. Why? Because we waxed poor. We sold our possession. What possession did we sell? Look back at Isaiah 52. Just to your left a few pages. Isaiah 52, and look at verse 3. Thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves. You've sold yourselves. That's being in debt. That's waxing poor when you sell yourself to be a servant. To be a servant. And you did it for nothing. You did it for nothing. You got duped. The devil beguiled you and tricked you. You didn't get anything. You just sold yourself into servitude for nothing. And you shall be redeemed without money. You shall be redeemed without money. The right of redemption means this. Christ had the right to redeem that which his brethren sold. Our whole person. Our whole person. Our whole person. Scripture says, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. The whole person bought with a price. Now, the purpose of redemption is so that the inheritance, like I said, so it'll remain in the family. So it'll stay in the family to which it belongs. Listen to Deuteronomy 32:9. Listen to this. The Lord's portion, his inheritance, is his people. That's his inheritance. You see, that was the purpose of redemption, is so that the inheritance won't be lost. The inheritance will go to the rightful heir. And the Lord says, my inheritance is my people. And Jacob's the lot of my inheritance, he said. Well, here they are. They've sold themselves. They've sold themselves. Christ is not going to have that. They're his inheritance. He's going to redeem them. He's going to get them back. He's going to have them because they're his. Redemption is to keep all God's elect in the family. It's to keep all God's house together. To keep us out of the hands of the law. To keep us out of the hands of Satan. To keep us out of the hands of sin. To keep us out of the hands of the world. To keep us out of the hands of death. That's the purpose of redemption. So God said to his son, what he said right here in this text, you go buy it for thyself. It's your inheritance. You go buy it for yourself. You got the right of redemption, and it's your inheritance. Go buy it for yourself. God's own grace and justice. Hanamel, the son of Shalom, God's grace and justice said, go buy it for yourself. Christ's own love for His brethren said, go buy it for yourself. Go buy it for yourself. Remember Christ's parable? Turn to Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found it, he hideth. And for joy thereof, he goes and he sells all that he has and he buys that field. He buys that field. Christ's near kin are the treasure hidden in that field. But you see, he's redeeming Anatoth, but the ones he's really redeeming in the picture here is the priests in Anatoth. That's who he's redeeming. The people in Anatoth. Christ's near kin are the treasure hidden in the field, His people. And for the joy that's set before Him. What joy is that? Having all, coming to the Father and saying, behold, the iron of children You've given to Me. Here they all are. And to spend eternity with them in His house, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. This is the joy set before Him. And for the joy set before Him, what did He do? He sold all that he had and he bought the field. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. What's this field? This field is the church of God. This field is the church, his church. And every individual elect child in that church is the treasure hidden in that field. His inheritance, his people. Now, look here back in our text, Jeremiah 32. Christ not only had the right to buy it, He had the ability to redeem us. Look at Jeremiah 32:9. And I bought the field of Hanamel, my uncle's son that was in Anatoth. I weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. I bought the field, he said. I bought the field. You know what it required in order for Christ to buy his people? To redeem his people, you know what was required? He had to be perfectly holy. He had to be perfectly holy without sin, being that last Adam made flesh just like his people. And he had to be eternal God. Eternal God. Christ had the right of redemption, and Christ was able to redeem. He met all the qualifications so he could redeem. But the debt we owed was far greater than these 17 shekels of silver. Far greater than that. Far more expensive than a corrupt thing like what silver could redeem. Far more valuable. We owed eternal death. Eternal death to satisfy eternal justice. That's what we owe. That's what we owe. The man who's outside of Christ, you want to be accepted of God in the day of judgment, all you've got to do is satisfy eternal justice by giving it eternal death. That's all you got to do. You can come right on in the kingdom of God. He paid the full exact price. He paid everything that was owed. His precious blood. His precious blood. He laid down His life for His brethren. Let's look at some scripture. 1 Peter 1:18. 1 Peter 1:18. I read this one to you Thursday night. Let's do it again. 1 Peter 1:18. They grew up telling those children, telling them all about how God brought them out of Babylon, and because He sent Jeremiah over there to Anatoth, paid 17 shekels of silver, and God brought us out of Babylon. The kids grew up thinking that was the gospel. Because of something a man did, just a common man did it. So they just gave all their shekels and everything else. They tell them the story about how, oh, if we were going to be, the firstborn had to be redeemed and the shekel of the sanctuary had to be paid. And we built the foundation of the tabernacle from the shekel of the sanctuary. Redemption. Was covered that whole foundation with redemption money. So they just gave and gave and gave all the shekels they could, trying to redeem themselves all the way to God, never seeing that redemption was a picture of the redemption, the foundation Christ we stand on, complete. Well, look right here. It says, verse 18, "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversation that was handed down to you by the tradition of your fathers." Here's what that pictured: the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Look over at Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13. I tell you, these things, when the Lord starts showing these things to me the first time, and I'll tell you, they just thrill my heart as much right now as they do the first time. I just start seeing this and thinking, this is absolutely wonderful. Look here, Galatians 3:13. "Christ hath redeemed us." What did He redeem us from? "From the curse of the law." How did He do it? "Being made a curse for us." Being made a curse for us. "For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." See, here's what God's showing us by this picture. This is the good news of the gospel. This is why Christ is the power and wisdom of God to every true child of God. Look at Isaiah 44:22. Here's the good news. This is what He's showing us. Isaiah 44:22. I have blotted out. Let me tell you a picture of what blotted out is. You ever take one of them big old mops, you know, that you use to put down in barbecue sauce and mop your chicken with it, or mop your ribs with it on the grill? It just blots a big old bunch on there, you know. Well, He's saying here, I blotted it out. What's He blotted out? "As a thick cloud." Look at a cloud in the sky. You can't see the sun. You can't see. "I blotted it out as a thick cloud, thy transgressions. And as a cloud, thy sins. Return unto me," He said, "for I've redeemed thee." That's what He said. Look here, verse 23. "Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein." All His people in all these different places, He's going to make them start singing and break forth into singing. Why? Because the Lord has redeemed Jacob, and He's glorified Himself in Israel when He did it. That's why. I love the story Brother Henry used to tell. I just love this story about the old preacher and the field birds. You ever heard that? There was this old preacher walking along one day, and there was this little boy coming along, and he had a cage and had two little old field birds in that cage, just old worthless field birds. And the preacher just happened to catch a glimpse of those field birds when he walked by, and he said, "Son, how'd you get those field birds?" He said, "I trapped them." And he said, "Well, what you going to do with them?" He said, "I'm going to play with them." He said, "What you going to do with them after that?" He said, "Nah, I think about feeding them to the cat." Preacher said, "How much you want for those field birds?" He said, "You don't want these field birds, preacher. They can't tweet, they can't do nothing, they can't sing, they ain't worth nothing. You don't want these field birds." He said, "No, I want them. How much do you want for them? What's the price?" And the little boy said, "It's going to cost you $5. He said, I'm paying it. "I want it. I want them." The little boy said, "Here, you can have the cage and all." He sold him the cage and all, $5. And the little boy walked off down the sidewalk, and the preacher went off the other direction. And every now and then, the little boy looked back at that preacher, thinking, "What in the world is he going to do with those field birds?" That foolish preacher paid that money just to buy some worthless field birds. It ain't worth nothing. Why did he do that? And he stopped him, and he saw a preacher doing something. He stopped. And that preacher opened up the cage. And those little field birds saw that door open, and they took off through that door. And they went to flying up into the sky. For the first time ever, field birds were singing. redeem. Redeem. That's our song. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. His child and forever I am. That's the last thing I want to show you. Forever His child. This is why the preaching of Christ crucified is the power and wisdom of God. Is this foolishness to you? These things I'm telling you foolish. I wouldn't want to stand in front of a father on this earth who loved his son dearly, and I called his son a fool. I wouldn't want to stand before that man. I sure wouldn't want to stand before God the Father calling his son a fool. All right, let's look. This is why he's the power and wisdom of God to the believer, because his work cannot be undone. It cannot be undone. The payment and the transfer of this ownership here, when Jeremiah went and bought this land, the ownership of every child in that land, the ownership of it switched over to Jeremiah. And God said, now you make sure you do this in a way so that it's unchangeably witnessed. It's written, it's witnessed, it's unchangeable, it can't change. And this is picturing what Christ did for us. It's unchangeable, it cannot change. Look here. Jeremiah 32:10, I subscribed the evidence. That means he took a book and wrote down every condition in it of this purchase. He wrote down the price. He wrote down what was paid. He wrote down all the facts and who was redeemed and everything about it, what was redeemed. He wrote it down in a book, subscribed it in a book, and sealed it. I sealed it. And I took witnesses. And I weighed him the money in the balances right there in front of the witnesses. The picture is of this purchase being witnessed and registered and in a book and sealed. And this is the sealed book. This is the sealed book. Subscribed. It was actually written by the witnesses. So you had the witnesses who saw it, but they're the ones who wrote the book and wrote all the, subscribed everything about the evidences in the book. This is a sealed book. You can't see this book. You can't look into this book. It's sealed. Our triune God wrote the names of every child of God in a book that's called the Lamb's Book of Life. And the book, it's called the Book of Life of the Lamb Slain from the foundation of the world. It's called the Book of the Living, where his people's names are written with the righteous. That's where they are. God, our triune God, who witnessed the transaction, who witnessed it, wrote this in the book. Everything about it. Listen to this. Revelation 20:12 says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, plural, the books were open. And it says, and another book was open. There's only one that had the right to open that book. Break that seal and open that book. And that book was opened, it says, which is the book of life. It's this book we're talking about, the book of life. Now the dead, those that came before him spiritually dead, never believing on Christ, they were judged out of those things that were written in the books. Every thought they ever thought that was sinful, every deed they ever did that was sinful, everything about them that was sinful. Things they didn't even know was sinful. He's in the books. And there's all these witnesses against them. And it says, according to their works. According to everything. That's how they want to be judged. That's how they're going to be judged. According to their works. And he says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That means there wasn't a one of those written in that book of life cast into the lake of fire. Not one of them. Not one of them. That's what God's showing us. He says, I brought them out of there and I put them in their own land and they didn't obey me. They went to sinning against me. And he said, I'm sending Babylon in there. They're going to take them down there to the land of Babylon in captivity and they're going to keep sinning against me down there. He said, that ain't going to change the fact I'm bringing them back. I'm bringing them back because this thing's been written in a book. been written in a book. He's using a whole nation to show what he does for all his elect people. All right, look here now. There's another book that the witnesses wrote. It's an open book. An open book. It's open for all to read, and it tells all about this transaction being complete. You see it there? Look there in the text. He says, and I subscribed the evidence and sealed it and took witnesses and weighed them in the money in the balances. And look down at verse 11. I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom and that which was open. See, there's two different books. One's sealed, one's open. In this open book, it was all written in this open book too. And Christ is being witnessed in the open book. Who's he being witnessed by in the open book? Now the righteousness of God is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Here's the open book right here. The open book's right here. You can open this book and read it. Have you opened and read it? You think that's foolish? This is the open book. Everything's written right here about that transaction and how it's finished, finalized, and all the witnesses right here bearing witness to it. All right, now look. To make this purchase even more unchangeably secure, it's sealed somewhere else. It's not just sealed in this book, it's sealed somewhere else. Look here, verse 11. For I took the evidence of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. I took both these books, and I gave the evidence of the purchase unto Baruch. His name means blessed. The son of Neriah, that means the lamp of the Lord. The son of Messiah, that means the work of the Lord. And it says, in the sight of Hanamel, God's grace, my uncle's son, and in the presence of all the witnesses that subscribe the book of the purchase, before the triune God, before the prophets in heaven, all those witnesses that wrote the book that's sealed and the book that's open, God and all his prophets that he used to write the book. And he says this, and before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. What's a believer? Paul said in Romans 2, he's a true Jew, which is one that's born of God, that's been circumcised in the heart, not in the letter. That's a true Jew. And where are we right now? Well, we're in this body of death right now. That's sort of like a court of the prison, isn't it? And it's done. This thing was done. This, wherever he's going to seal this book, he's doing it in front of these folks too. Before all our brethren, true Jews, according to Romans 2. And I charged Baruch before them, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these evidences. He's charging that blessed one. That one who's the lamp of God. That one who's the work of God. He's charging him. Now you take these evidences, both the one that's sealed and the one that's written in the book. They're both the same message. He says, you take these, both which is sealed and the evidence which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel that they may continue many days. And so here we are today. We're opening the book that can be opened, and we're hearing the witnesses declare this truth about this purchase, that Christ really did accomplish it. He accomplished redemption, and by God's grace, now and then, the blessed lamp shines. And by the work of the Lord, the evidence of the purchase is put into an earthen vessel, sealed in an earthen vessel. Like Paul said, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He commanded the lamp to shine, the Spirit of God, and he shined in our hearts, and he gave us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. This redemptive work I'm telling you about, that's the glory of God. That's God's glory. He's showing us the light of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. And he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, in these bodies of death, these old clay pots that we live in. That's where we got the treasure, that the power may be of God and not of us. If there's an earthen vessel here today, listen to me carefully. If there's an earthen vessel here today, and you're hearing this message for the first time, you're hearing the record of our Redeemer for the first time, and you're hearing about this finished work of redemption, and he's put this record, this sealed, these two books, and he's put them in your heart for the first time. Here's what God calls on you to do. He says, part with everything you've got and go buy the field. Go buy the field. The right of the inheritance, the right of redemption which Christ accomplished is for those who believe on Him. They're for those who believe on it. I want you to think about this for a minute. Do you remember how the right of inheritance, how the right of redemption passes to a man? Do you know how that happens? If his kinsman before him waxed poor, and he himself is enriched so that he can part with this world's possessions, lay hold of that inheritance and buy it. And then he can buy it. He's got the right of redemption. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the kinsman that came before. That though he was rich, yet for his sakes, your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty you might be made rich. I put an article in the bulletin. I talked to Don about this too a couple of days ago, and he said, I don't know about that. And I said, I think I'm onto something here. And he went and looked, and he found, he sent it to me, just came on it the next day. Said, I never heard a man use the word right of redemption. And he said, Robert Hawker, I put it in the bulletin today, the right of redemption. He said, beyond all doubt, the poorest believer is equally interested in all the blessings of Christ in right of redemption. In right of redemption. God calls His child and He says, now you look at that land, just like Jeremiah's looking at that land. You look at that land that you once looked at and thought, it's besieged, it's conquered. That thing, that's foolish to buy that thing. He says, you look at that same land now. And He says, for the joy of the treasure that's in that field, you part with your silver and gold and you buy that field. You buy that field without money, without price, sight unseen, by faith alone. You believe on Christ and you confess Him publicly just like Christ did when He redeemed us, just like God told Jeremiah here to do. You make sure this thing's done publicly. He says, now you believe on Him. You purchase the field and you confess Him publicly. He said in Isaiah 48:20, go ye forth of Babylon. That's what He said. Get out of Babylon. Flee ye from the Chaldeans with the voice of singing. Declare ye and tell this. Do it publicly. Utter it even to the end of the earth. And say ye, the Lord hath redeemed His servant Jacob. David, what you dancing for? The Lord redeemed me. That's why I'm dancing. Field birds, why are you singing? The Lord redeemed us. That's why we're singing. Sinner, why are you singing? The Lord redeemed me. That's why I'm singing. But He doesn't redeem you and say, stay in Babylon. He redeemed you and says, come out of Babylon. You go to Anatot. Why? Why go to Anatot? Jeremiah 32:15. Look there. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses, eternal dwelling places, and fields where you find bread, and vineyards where you wine, we get the wine of rejoicing. All of them picturing Christ, they're going to be possessed again. Where? In this land. In this land. And Christ is going to see to it that your inheritance won't be taken from you. Look here, Ephesians 1. If you believe on Him, Christ will see to it your inheritance won't be taken from you. Look at Ephesians 1:13. Remember after He did that redemption, He sealed it, made sure that it would never be changed at all. Well, look here. Ephesians 1:13. In whom, in Christ, you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And what is that Holy Spirit of promise? It's the earnest of our inheritance. It's the down payment on our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. What's that purchased possession? His people. His people. What's this redemption? That means He's going to come back and we're going to go back and possess the land. That's what it means. We're coming out of the grave one day, just like He did. That sound foolish to you? We're going to be with Him in glory. That sound foolish? We're going to possess the land. Christ our inheritance and whatever else He's got to give us. I don't think we're going to be too much interested in that whatever else, but Christ to have our full focus. See, this is why He's wisdom to us. This is why He's power of God to us. Now, you leave here today and you think, you're going to go on calling Him foolishness? You're going to go on looking at them and saying, that's foolishness? Ain't a man anywhere could have wrote that story. He couldn't have made that up. This is God's story. This is His story. That's what history is. It's His story. Amen.